Today's gospel lesson comes from Mark chapter 1. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of God for the people of God.
So this passage that Jeremy read from the Gospel of Mark is one of those readings from the Bible that I can clearly remember from my own childhood growing up in the church. I can hear the preacher of my childhood telling about Jesus calling those fishermen, and the picture in my mind was so quaint. I imagined humble fishermen of lowly means making the decision to give their life to Jesus. We've romanticized this scene, or at least I have, through the years. While I'm sure the fishermen that we picture were indeed a little dirty and scruffy, they also seemed exotic to me. After all, they were heading off on some magical adventure that was completely foreign to the average person. Read this scripture passage to any number of people, and they start picturing missionaries who have left home to serve in a faraway land. I fear that sometimes in the church we've done a similar thing with ordained clergy. Romanticized the role in some sense, as if my call upon my life is organized into a hierarchy with pastors and church workers at the top of some holy pyramid. Today we recognize indeed our lay leaders and our volunteers. And it was weeks ago that I read an article by an Episcopal priest who actually argues that she no longer finds the word laity helpful. I was intrigued by this and read on. Her argument is that the word has come to mean amateur, not an expert, common. The word is seen as describing that which is secular as opposed to that which is holy and spiritual. In other words, she worries that the very word laity contributes to our holy type pyramid. Now, I don't know if I'd go so far as to remove the word laity and layperson from my vocabulary. They are so ingrained in me as a cradle Methodist. But I do appreciate her perspective, because she goes on, especially speaking of the great number of people who don't happen to be ordained in the life of the church that she has encountered, who give themselves so fully to the church, indeed by bringing their very gifts and skills and expertise. I personally can speak from my own experience here around church council tables and in other meetings. The church is filled with non-clergy types who are quite adept and most assuredly deeply spiritual. The word laity or lay is derived from the root word meaning people of God. That's all of us. Some of us happen to be ordained, some of us not, but there is quite a lot of good that happens in the life of any church and in any faith community with non-ordained people around. Small group studies, outreach ministries. And friends, I've heard some of you talk about creative ideas that you have for additional small groups, things like a movie club or a knitting circle or a hiking small group. And here's what I want you to know. You do not need Earl or I present to make those things happen. In fact, they might go off better. I'll speak for myself. If you have an idea, I want you to reach out to us. We'd love to hear about your dream and see if there is a way that we can help you get started with it, providing you the space, the resources, visiting, being in prayer with you about it. You are already following Jesus. I wonder how else God might be calling you. It was earlier this week, as I was preparing for this sermon, that I imagined going on for a bit in this direction, but then I stumbled upon something that caused me to change course. It was, again, something that I read, and I want to share it with you. Ched Meyer is a California native and a New Testament scholar. The Gospel of Mark, in particular, is his specific area of interest and study. And it is not that Meyer brings a social justice perspective and lens to the Gospel of Mark. Rather, he makes the point that social justice is at the heart of Mark's gospel itself. When Jesus calls the fishermen and when Jesus calls you and me, it is into a certain way of life, a way of life that leads to wholeness and the flourishing of all God's people. About this morning's passage in particular, Myers goes on to write, "There is perhaps no expression more traditionally misunderstood than Jesus' invitation to these workers to become fishers of men. This metaphor, despite the grand old tradition of missionary interpretation, does not refer to the saving of souls, as if Jesus were conferring upon these people instant evangelist status." Now I'll pause. You don't have to show your hand, but how many of us were raised with this understanding of what it means to be a fisher of people, to go out and to save souls for Jesus? Well, this writer goes on to say, that's not what's happening here. Instead, the image finds its origin in the greatest of prophets, such as Jeremiah, where it was used as a symbol of Yahweh's censure of Israel, a criticism for the way the people of God had lived in a way that contributed to the widening gap between the haves and have-nots. The prophet Ezekiel, in the prophet Ezekiel, the hooking of fish was actually a euphemism for God's judgment upon the powerful. And in the prophet Amos, the hooking was a euphemism for God's judgment upon the rich. For example, in Amos chapter 4, it reads this, "Hear this word, O you who oppress the poor, you who crush the needy, the time is surely coming upon you when God will take you away with hooks, even the last of you with fish hooks." I wonder how many of you, this might be a new reading of this gospel. So the next time that a white Christian nationalist in your life tells you that the Bible never says anything about social justice, you have a few scriptures in your back pocket to pull out and reference. By calling the earliest of disciples and by calling you and me, Jesus is inviting common folk to join him in the struggle to overturn the existing order of power and privilege. Back to my romanticized image of these earliest of disciples, Simon and Andrew, James and John, scholars are not of one mind about their socioeconomic status. Many do believe that these earliest disciples were among the poorest of the poor. But others are quick to point out that these men were actually business leaders. While they may not have been listed in the Fortune 500 of their day, they had means enough to own a boat and hire their own workers. I wasn't surprised this morning to find that Diana Butler Bass also referenced Ched Meyer in her Sunday column today. She went on to talk about growing up with this understanding that those early fishermen were asked to give up everything to go and save the lost and evangelize the world. And that type of heroic calling left her feeling inadequate. But when we look at the lens, when we look through at this scripture through the lens of a Savior who calls us into a way of life that leads to the flourishing of all people, there is indeed something for each and every one of us to do, whether it is march or protest or write letters or make phone calls or vote or donate. Jesus comes giving good news to the poor. And for those of us with means, we are called to use our resources in such a way that contribute to a more equitable and just society. This morning, I was planning to close with a prayer on servant leadership that I had found. But instead, visiting Sunday school and having the gift of the Hobsons being with us, I had these words before me again by Shirley Murray. God of freedom, God of justice. And what a gift the Hobsons have given us in setting these words to music, a melody called the University UMC Church Melody. And I believe we're going to try to sing this. It sounds like a beautiful Lenten hymn. So we'll bring the melody to you at some point. But this text I want to leave with you today. Such good words from God for the people of God. Rid the earth of torture's terror, you whose hands were nailed to wood. Hear the cries of pain and protest, you who shed the tears and blood. Move in us the power of pity, restless for the common good, and make in us a captive conscience, quick to hear, to act, and to plead. Make us truly sisters, brothers of whatever race or creed. Teach us to be fully human, open to each other's needs. May it be so. Amen.